You're listening to Like Mother, Like Son on WJFF.
And that's my mother, Patricia Adams.
And that's my son, Ramsey Adams.
Oh, yeah. The show is Like Mother, Like Son?
Yes. That's right, with
really?
A question mark.
With a question mark.
You know, it's a mother-son thing.
Ramsey, this is more important than something else coming my way today.
Okay.
Changes. Don't want to be a richer man. Changes. Changes. It's gonna have to be a different man. Thou may change me, but I can't trace
them. You're listening to Like Mother, Like Son on Radio JFF. This is my mother, Patricia Adams.
And that's my son, Ramsey Adams.
We're in the studio with our producer, Mark Sutton.
Our guest today is performing in the play Bhutan at the Cherry Lane Theater through December 9th in New York City. Please welcome to Like Mother, Like Son, Amy Redford. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Amy, as Mark said, you're currently in the play Bhutan at the Cherry Lane Theater through the 9th of December, and you've been working with Daisy Foote on this play for quite a while. So
yeah,
could you tell us a little bit about how you started and got involved and the progress?
Well, I met Daisy, I guess, about, you know, maybe like 10 years ago, and I was doing a reading of a different play of hers, and actually we did a workshop of a different play of hers up at the O'Neill Theater Center, which Evan Yanulis, our current director, also directed. And then she had asked me to do a couple of readings of this play, and the timing didn't work out, and then finally we were brought up to Hartford States, and we did a reading up there, and that was about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. And then the Cherry Lane got involved, and we did a workshop production on their alternative space, and then we took it up to New York Stage and Film in Poughkeepsie, and now landed here on their main stage for their inaugural production.
That's great, and this is for the Celebration of Women Playwrights, right? That they're doing, or not yet?
It's actually just a main stage production. I mean, it is a Celebration of Women Playwrights, and, you know, Daisy has a long legacy of writing plays, and she's also a screenwriter. And, you know, it's also their first production that they have in their beautifully renovated new space.
Great. So, Amy, for our listeners, would you just briefly tell us about what the play's about?
Yes, it's about a family in New England that is a working-class family that has very deep roots in that town. And they're watching around them the town kind of changing with people like the offstage character Nora Letemkin moving in next door, and you know, she's got all the right intentions, but it's kind of unrecognizable to the Conroy family, who, you know, has been there for a long time, and they're watching their property taxes spike up, and they're watching people move in around them that are, you know, either have second homes or, you know, their retirement homes, and they're watching things change around them. And Frances, the youngest character, befriends the neighbor who has access to Columbia University and who's very well-read and very well-cultured, and Frances starts to kind of feel the pull of an outside world that she's never had access to before.
You know, Amy, in a way, I did see it, and it's a terrific play. It is the classic story of yearning for something beyond.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like a Tennessee Williams story, you know, in that sense.
That's so funny you should say that, because a lot of people have made that analogy. I mean, it really, and what you have is that the thing that I think that Daisy has done so beautifully with all of the characters is made none of them demonized. All of them have, you know, genuine intentions of love, and they're just trying to hold on to their lives in a way that makes sense for them, and that might manifest differently for each of the characters, and it might be something that we like, we don't like as audience members, but all of them, I think, have a very solid root in a belief system.
And they're just four of you, four characters. And your sister, you're the sister of the mother of the young teenager who's dreaming of getting to Bhutan or you know, outside. And then there's the brother.
And there's an event, you know, I don't want to give too much.
Right, that's it's hard to talk about because there's a surprise.
There's an event that happens to the family. And it's really the way that the play is structured is that we're sort of piecing together this one event and showing that the effect that it's had on this family, and it's an event that sort of surrounds the brother, and something that he did impulsively as a teenager that has changed the nature of this family, and in fact changed the course of Francis the young daughter's right. life
well,
forever.
Early in the play, you see the brother in prison clothes. I'm not giving anything away.
No, it sets
so
up
it's
and, yeah,
goes
it's
back
not,
and forth in time.
Exactly, and it's not really set up to be like a whodunit. It's right. not about that. It really is about, you know, looking at this family and what's happened to this family over time. And the relationships between all the characters are so strong. But that's really the heart and soul of the play.
Did you know immediately that you wanted to play Sarah, the brassy aunt? Sort
yes,
of?
Yes, I did. I love my character. I love the part that I'm playing. I mean, I'm playing a supporting role in this play, and working with Daisy and Evan has been such a pleasure. And the cast that I'm with is just unmatched in terms of their talent and their dedication.
You mentioned Evan. That's the director, right?
Evan Yanulis, yes, the director. She's really, you know, one of our finest directors, and I just really have enjoyed the process. And being in the Cherry Lane is just like dropping into a piece of history in New York City. It's on one of the most beautiful blocks in New York, right on Commerce Street. And there's sweet little restaurants and little things around, and it's just it's a place that I've always wanted to work and never had the opportunity. So.
What's the schedule? How does it work?
We play on Tuesday through Saturday. We have two shows on Wednesday and two shows on Saturday, and our Tuesday night show's at 7 o'clock, and we run until December 9th.
Wow, and how long is the play?
It's about an hour and a half.
And
quick theater.
And how long were did it take you to get ready to go live with it? I mean, how long do you guys
rehearse? Well, we had the good fortune of having a pretty healthy development period. I mean, in this incarnation, we only rehearsed for 2 weeks, but we had just really had some great time to work on it up at New York Stage and Film in Poughkeepsie, New York, where we could really pull the play apart and try out different things, and Daisy just kept rewriting. So, you know, we've had probably a very luxurious amount of time to develop this play, which I think has worked to our benefit. And I really encourage other theaters to try to figure out a way that they can, you know, support a play going out of town and, you know, fleshing out what it is. You know, there's so much pressure in New York City, both economically and you know, you got a savvy audience here.
Right.
It really helps when you can, you know, take the pressure off for a few weeks and really figure out what the play is about, especially when you have the cast intact. And we've had our cast intact from the beginning.
Amy, I want to ask, sort of go back a little bit. How long have you known you wanted to act?
Well, it's probably happened in two phases. I mean, I've always loved the kind of circus freak element of the arts. I've loved the characters, the people that I've been able to meet just through, you know, experience with my pop and all of that. And
yeah, our listeners probably don't know, but you are the daughter of Robert Redford.
Yes.
So
yes,
you have grown up in the world of acting and the business, as they say.
Yeah, exactly. But I also know that there's a lot of, I've also known for a long time that there's a lot of, you know, drawbacks to having that kind of exposure all the time. So there was a bit of a disconnect between me wanting to act and me wanting to be an actress.
What are those drawbacks?
Well, I think, you know, in terms of the life that I lead here in New York City, I have a life that I recognize that I'm very much in control of, and I'm not terribly enamored with celebrity. I love, you know, the respect of my peers, and I love doing the work that I do, but I also love being able to walk through the streets of New York and interact.
Ah, but Amy, I did a Google on you, and you are a smoking celeb.
Oh, how do you know that? How do you know that wasn't acting?
there's actually a website that is, it's called Female Celebrity Smoking List, and you are entered twice for smoking in Cry Funny Happy.
Oh, well,
and
what are you gonna
giving
do?
It up.
Oh, right.
And in your Cry Funny Happy, you get a quote, although her exhales are not visible, Redford has two fabulous snap inhales, and which are highly indicative that she is IRL.
I did a lot of research, that's all.
Isn't that bizarre? I mean, somebody would build a website.
Yeah. You know what? There's websites for everything. It's a little alarming. Right. I mean, it really, it's pretty true. Everybody has a forum, you know. I mean, I think that some people should probably be ticketed for thinking that it should be out there. But I
but really, what the other point is that you've done a lot of film, a lot of TV. You were on The Sopranos. You were on Sex and the City.
Yeah,
and you've done,
yeah.
Law and Order.
Yeah.
I'm a true New Yorker.
Right, I know.
so, but is your choice at the end of the day theater?
I love the theater, and I also love the medium of film. They're different. I love the community of theater. I show up to the theater a little early. I do my stretches. I hang out with the crew, and I really love that lifestyle. And I also love the kind of intimacy of film. I love what you can say in film that you can't say in theater, and vice versa. I feel like there's definitely room for both in my life, and television as well. I mean, television is a really good medium if you treat it well, and you know, it's I think being able to cross in between all of them. I mean, theater keeps you humble. You're out there every night, and you have to respect the audience, and you have to respect yourself and your body and everything. You know, it takes a kind of stamina, and it takes a kind of humility.
Seems by choosing to live in New York, you have made a choice more for theater than film.
It's both. I think my choice to live in New York is really just about New York. I love this city. I'm a native New Yorker, and I feel like this city has, you know, sort of nourished me in ways that other places haven't.
And we've got the siren in the background, right,
on
cue.
So
you're really there. That
people.
Wasn't a sound effect for our listeners. That was really an emergency on her block.
No, it's just normal New York City life.
Won't be satisfied until you break my heart. You're never satisfied until the teardrops start. I tried to shower you with love and kisses, but all I ever get from you is nagging and bragging. My heart is sagging. The way you toss my heart around's a crying shame. I'll bet you wouldn't like it if I did the same. You're only happy tearing all my dreams apart. Oh, you won't be satisfied until you break my heart.
No, you won't be satisfied until you break my heart. You're never satisfied until the teardrops start. Tried to shower you with love and kisses, baby. All I ever get from you is nagging and bragging. My poor heart is sagging. The way you toss my heart around is a crying shame. I bet you wouldn't like it if I did the same. You're only happy tearing all my dreams apart. Babe, you won't be satisfied until you break my heart.
New York Times called her the most entertaining cast member of the play Bhutan, which is at the Cherry Lane Theater through December 9th. We're back with Amy Redford.
Tell us a little bit about your schooling. You studied theater, or is that right?
I did study theater.
So you knew coming out of high school you wanted to give it a whirl?
Well, yeah. I mean, when I was in high school, I was interested in theater, and I did some directing in high school. And then when I left high school, I felt like, you know what, I'm not going to be, you know, that kind of actor that I want to be if I don't know anything about life and history and art and people. And, you know, and I went to CU Boulder, and I studied religious studies and humanities, and I felt like, you know, it was really important to get a more diversified education because you have to be able to put these people in context, whether it's, you know, what they're listening to or what they're seeing or what kind of time period, the politics, the religion, what, you know.
Speaking of that also, yeah. Amy, you send me some of your emails, and it's clear that you're also an activist.
Yes.
That's also a family tradition, I might add. Your dad is a great activist as well.
I've been pretty much barred from most people's email lists at this point because I send out all of this stuff. I think it's an important element of not only being an artist, but I feel like, you know, I respect people's opinions, no matter if they're not my own. If people can stand by and act on their convictions, I have a lot of tolerance and room for it, even if it's not, you know, the same as my leanings. People that are sort of conspicuously devoid of action or opinion, I don't quite understand. We have a lot at stake in this universe right now, and if you care about things, I feel like it's a healthy thing to go after them. You know, obviously, Patricia, you know a lot about that.
Well, Amy, you'll be glad to know that you are talking on America's only hydro-powered public radio station.
Amen to that.
Radio
Absolutely.
Jeffersonville, New York.
It's every, you know, it's really, what I think something that people are starting to connect to is that it's each individual. It doesn't mean you have to go out and save the world, but if you can take responsibility for your own personal behavior, it does start to make a difference. Some people want to go out and do things that are more sort of extroverted, and some people just want to buy different kinds of light bulbs, or they want to, you know, be able to help save their local park, or, you know, it's really about participating in you know, your life and the community that you're in or the communities that you care about.
Okay.
One of the organizations that I'm a part of is something called the Grand Canyon Trust, and I'm
right
on the board. And they have a lot of different projects that you know, all of us board members are involved with to more or lesser degree, depending on our skill set. So it's important that I think it's important that everybody try to pick something that they care about and they're involved in that they can pursue.
And speaking of what you're involved in, we'll go back to the play and what your plans are for the future.
Plans for the future. I'm directing a film in December.
Oh, tell us about
called
that.
Called The Guitar, which I'm very excited about. We're going into pre-production right now. And that's a film that's shot locally.
Film.
It's a mythological tale about this one woman's rebirth and journey. Played by British actress named Saffron Burroughs, and it'll have Anthony Mackie and Paz de la Huerta and a couple of
others. What's the name of it again? I missed that.
The Guitar.
The Guitar. That's what I thought you said.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's written by Amos Poe, who is a great New York City writer.
Oh, right. Okay, good.
Quite some time. And I'm producing a television show with Susan Kravitz with the Aperture Foundation, and we're profiling various aperture photographers.
Oh, that should be lovely.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
Great.
Is that part of this artist
media
cooperative?
Yeah, that's co-op.
And
our first host that has, we just shot our first episode last Wednesday, which I was kind of doing in between running to shows, with Rosario Dawson was the host, and Catherine Chalmers was our first photographer, and it was really so extraordinary to watch them interact.
That is a sort of a new media production company that you're part of? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's really what it says. It's a cooperative of various artists and people in the industry that have kind of a, you know, I'll bring a project to the table, and people that are involved in the company will get involved to, you know, whatever degree that they can, and I'll do the same for other production. So it's not something that you have to necessarily do exclusively, but it's sort of a way to generate personal projects that you can get off the ground, that you can produce, or, you know, something that's acting, or if you're executive producer of a creator, writers and directors, we have a lot of various people that are involved in our company.
Is The Guitar the first film you've ever directed? Is
yes.
this a first for you?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's
very exciting, and I have an amazing team that I'm so blessed.
And
really
you're just using your experience as an actress to help you direct? It's interesting how you go from being an actress an actor to a director.
Yeah, I really, and, you know, I don't mind saying actress.
Okay.
Being an actress isn't such a bad thing. But I you know, I've been, my friends have always kind of teased me because they know that I'm, my personality is probably one that lends itself to directing. But I really love the creation of the entire universe of a film and not just the shoes of one character. It really, you know, the people that go into making a film, whether it's, you know, the designers or the director of photography or the producers, it's really an amazing process to watch come together, and being on that side of it is something that's always inspired me, and I'm a photographer as well, so I really love the visual element of it.
What inspires you? What would you, you know, what
so
is...
So many.
What's
it's
at
funny,
the top of
kind
your
of
list?
The way that I am about music. It doesn't, I don't have a favorite, but I, you know, depending on my state of mind and where I am in my life, it'll change. You know, I just watched this amazing film recently called In the Mood for Love that was incredibly effective to me because it was shot, you know, the entire film really hinged on the imagery. It was very lean on dialogue, but it told the story through pictures in a way that I haven't seen in a while. And
I'm in the mood for love, simply because you're near me. Oh, funny when you're near me. I'm in the mood for love, woman. Heaven is in your eyes, bright as the stars under. Oh, is it any wonder? Oh, baby, I'm in the mood. Why stop to think whether this little dream might fade? We put our hearts together, now we are one. I'm not afraid if there's a cloud above. If it should rain, we let it all just for the night. Forget it, baby. I'm in the mood for love.
Listening to Like Mother, Like Son on Radio Jeff, and we're talking to Amy Redford today.
I have a question about your co-op organization. So tell us a little bit more about that. Is it a place where people actually do the work, or is it more a meeting place where people get together who do work and say, well, I'm a director, you're a sound guy, you're an actress?
Well, this is how I got involved. I did a film with them called This Revolution, and that was sort of on the tail end of this last election, alas. And I was getting to the end of my activism, and it was a film that was based on a movie called Medium Cool, and and I got involved. And basically, what happened was we had 2 weeks to shoot it, and we had a very, very, very tiny budget, and it was shot during the Republican National Convention, and Rosario was actually in it. She got arrested, and Stephen Marshall, who's the founder of GNN, got arrested, and in the process of that film and talking to the producers, I threw in a couple of my opinions about things that they might want to consider, and they didn't take any of my advice. and then afterwards, they came back to me and they said, you know what, it was not bad advice that you gave us, and do you want to be a part of the company? So Bobby Kravitz asked me to come into the company and share, you know, whatever projects I had on the horizon, and I pitched them the guitar, and so they've helped me get it off the ground. So it's kind of it's a collective of artists and producers and people that, you know, we share an office and we share expertise.
Because it seems like that collective approach is something that's happening more and more, especially in New York with real estate just getting so expensive, and especially with the, such a strong independent film community in New York. And I know there's a lot of different types of those collective spaces happening right now.
Yes, definitely. It's really a matter of survival. I think it's very difficult to be too single-minded about trying to get things off the ground. It takes a village. And in this way, you know, people can have an office space. And for me, it's really critical to have a place that I can really, you know, get out of my house, because I'm freelance for all intents and purposes, and it gives me the opportunity to do that and to have a home where I can generate projects and, you know, in between acting gigs or, you know.
Amy, on the technology side, how did you film the guitar? Did you use?
We're going to start filming.
Oh, you're going to start filming
in December. Yeah.
Using digital.
That'll be Super 16.
Uh huh.
And, you know, we thought about digital, and I think digital is definitely a great, you know, medium for certain kinds of stories. But for the story that I want to tell, that, you know, there's a lot of use of the way that light plays in, mm-hmm. in a room, and I think digital is a harder medium to really take advantage of the nuance of light. So we're going to go with Super 16, and I'm kind of a Luddite when it comes to technology. So
Are you Mac or PC?
I'm Mac.
There you go.
Yeah, I had PC for about 6 minutes, and I almost threw it off a roof. So.
Okay.
Well, you're in good company on the Mac side.
Yeah.
Although you're being recorded onto a PC right now.
Oh,
you're okay
I am.
With that. But,
well,
yeah.
My mom's on PC, and she's a pretty, you know, savvy lady, so... Yeah.
Well, listen, Amy, it's been wonderful to talk to you.
I really appreciate
your taking your times, and it sounds like you're very busy right now with many projects, and that's great.
But I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, and I hope people come down and see our play.
Good. And do you have a website about the play or about the co-op?
Well, CherryLaneTheater.org is the website for the play, and you can go on there and see, you know, get tickets and see some history about the play and some of their projects coming up, the Mentor Project, and some of the stuff that they have coming up on their season.
And we have a website as well. It's like motherlikeson.org. And we will have this program on the website.
Oh, okay, great.
Great. Amy, thanks. This was awesome.
Well, thanks so much. If you need something else, don't hesitate to call.
Great.
Okay, thanks again.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
All righty, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's the end of another great episode of Like Mother and Like Son. Our guest today was Amy Redford.
And we're saying goodnight from Ramsey, Mark, and Patricia.
Visit us online at www.likemotherlikeson.org and let us know what you think of the show.
Good night.